Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, April 8th, 2018, by Mrs. Rose Grobel.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts always be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Savior. Amen. Today we have Doubting Thomas that was just read in our gospel. We seem to forget about this little band of followers who were called Jesus' disciples. For the past two Sundays, we've had a festival of air about us. And Palm Sunday, we sang Hosannas. And on Easter, we sang Hallelujahs. But in between these two Sundays, we seem to forget about what happened to his followers. Since our Lord had been betrayed, these disciples scattered for their lives. There was anything but joyful days for these people. They were anticipating anything but joyful days. They had nothing to be joyful about. Their leader died, crucified. They watched the events unfold before their very eyes, always from a distance. The Roman guards were looking for them. They were a stunned and frightened group. And what could they do? The trials, the scourging, the carrying of the cross to Calvary, of our Lord's body on that cross, the agony he suffered. Medical people have said that this is the worst agony in the world that any human being could suffer, being crucified on a cross. This is what happened to our Jesus. They watched him die. They saw his body put in a tomb, all from a distance. Then on that last Sunday, our Lord's body was not in the tomb. The women found the tomb empty. Their heart-rending cry, "They have taken away our Lord, and we not know where he's laid." Then in the upper room, Jesus appears to the disciples. Not all of them were present, and Thomas was not there. Perhaps Thomas had to get away from everyone. Perhaps this crucifixion was too much for him to even handle. He wanted to be alone. He had to think. He had to ask questions. Thomas always questioned the Lord. He always questioned the Lord's words. He even once asked Jesus how they could know the way. And the Lord's reply was, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Perhaps Thomas had given up. His beloved master and teacher was dead. How could I get along without him? This man that they had spent 3 years with, traveling with, eating with, talking with crowds, talking individually with people. The other disciples sought him out. They told him that they had seen Jesus. And he said, "I have to touch his wounds. Thrust my hand into that wounded side. Touch his hand to those holes there before he would believe. He tortures his mind with all this questioning so he could understand what was going on. He was the only one that questioned this idea of Jesus' resurrection. So he goes to where they are. Jesus is there. Jesus appears. He shows Thomas his wounds. He holds up those hands. He tells him of the wound in his side. Thomas was ashamed to touch him. The Bible does not state in any Bible that I have read during the trying to get this homily ready. It never says that he touched Jesus. He only fell to his knees and exclaims, "My Lord and my God." Like Thomas, we often have traumatic experiences in our life that shatter our faith. Eric asked me if I would speak to you of a few of my doubts that I've had in my lifetime. I was divorced after 17 years of marriage with 3 children to take care of. I had 2 sisters living in the state of Michigan. I prayed with my uncle, who was a Baptist minister. I counseled with him. I talked with my family, and I decided I would move to Michigan. When I moved to Michigan, I met a wonderful man that was married, and his wife had passed away. He had 5 boys and 1 girl. I had 2 boys and 1 girl. And after 2 years of praying together, of being with the children together, trying to think, will these 2 families come together, would be able to take care of them, we married. In July, we will be married 47 years. In those times, we have had moments, but we raised those children. All of them have college degrees. All of them have wonderful jobs. Yesterday, they celebrated with Merv and I my 89th birthday. What a wonderful experience that was to have even my granddaughter and her friend come in from Chicago. My son came up from Orlando. This is an experience that I would not have had if I hadn't had doubts and prayed to God. My other experience of doubt happened to my 64-year-old son. He was drafted at the age of 18 for Vietnam. He was shattered when he came back. He was a good man. He called me time after time about church, had he been baptized. And finally, I was notified by a hospice doctor that he had cancer. It had metastasized. It was in his brain. I had doubts with my God. I thought, God, you failed me. But he hadn't. This son had no way of living. It was not God's fault that this happened with him. We all know that. It's not God's fault when these things happen. But he would call me and say, "Mom, Mom." So Merv and I decided to go down to see him at that Thanksgiving to stay a week. I called and told the hospice care nurse that we were coming. And I asked her, I said, does he understand? She says, oh, yes, he understands. But all he said was mom, sister, and home. He wanted to go back to his home. He passed away 2 days before we got there. But I found out that God knows our needs. He knows our anxieties. He knows our frustrations because he's here. I know a lot of you know about when I fell down my basement steps and laid there for 7 hours. The first thought I had in my mind was, God, take hold of my hand. I'm going to be alone for a few hours, and I need you here. I came to several times. I said, well, God, you're still with me. I'm hanging in here. So I know what doubts can be. I've lived them through my life. Our Lord surrounded himself with people who in their lives as disciples, everything that could happen in humankind, they suffered it. And Peter had doubts, but he's never mentioned as doubtful Thomas. Peter had doubts when he denied Christ in the courtyard. Yet Peter was called the rock by Jesus himself. In going through what Jesus did with his own disciples, knowing their humankind, is it any wonder in our lives that our Lord knows what we need? He went through that with the people that he healed, the people who were crippled, the people who were blind, his disciples who had their doubts. He knew they doubted. But in the end, these disciples stood up. And look what they did with their lives. They were all tortured. They all died horrible deaths. So our constant prayer and my constant prayer is, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. But as soon as we all have frustrations. We all have anxieties. We all have doubts. I doubt I can do that. No, I can't do that. I doubt if I can go there. I doubt if I can help you. This is every day. But unlike Thomas, we don't see the risen Christ. He did, but we don't. We can't see him. We have to believe so firmly. And we must believe that with constant prayer to the Father. And that prayer should be, Lord, help me in my unbelief. Lord, help me in my unbelief. Lord, help me through my doubts. Lord, help me through my frustrations with my fellow people. Lord, be with me. Then, with Thomas, we can all exclaim, my Lord and my God. Amen.